It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams here, Right Side Radio. Like the dude just said, we are indeed solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, we're moving to that segment that we do once a week, one of my favorite opportunities every week to get together with some guys who do amazing work on radio themselves. So we're going to have Dale Jackson, our own Dale Jackson from WVNN, program director and /morning show host. And then we've got Jeff Poor from down at 106.5 on the coast. So let's do the roll call. Dale, are you here?
Yep.
And Jeff Poor, are you here?
I am.
And I'm here, so I pronounce a quorum. Copper, play the sound effect.
Assemble the Grand Council.
I like it. Copper, you did a good job on blowing the horns there. Thank you very much. So, fellas, listen, by the way, before we get started, I got to say, Dan Bongino called. He wanted to, like, get in our sandbox today and play for a while, and I said, no, not today. You've had enough fun with WVNN.
You should have let him in. He's an easy guest to deal with.
All good. All right, Dale, you're actually starting today, man. So we're going to ask each other questions and see how we do. Take it away.
I'm going to cut Jeff out of this because he's got nothing to add here. I just want to ask you.
Me?
Did I see you on Fox News one morning when I was running on the treadmill? What's that all about?
You did indeed. So that was old news, actually. But, yeah, when I was still in the state senate, I was on Fox and Friends with Brian Kilmeade and Ainsley Earhart talking about the fact that In-N-Out Burger was discriminated against by Democrats in California for daring to give money to Republicans, so I invited them to come to Alabama. It went viral, and now they're in the news again this week, so I sort of retweeted old stuff. But yeah, I was on Fox News.
It was good stuff. I really enjoyed that. I thought it was cool. All right, let me ask you a serious question here for just a second. We've gone through all of this. We've seen it. The BCA and everyone else has stepped in and said, no, 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 no. KIV, don't do anything. You better not do anything. No, don't you dare do anything about the vaccine mandate ban. Is KIV going to say, okay, whatever you say? Or is she going to still maybe move forward?
I'll jump on it first. I've had some interesting conversations here in the last few days, some of whom are in that business community. And so here's the bottom line. I think there's a way forward. I don't know if that certain bill that's out there right now is, and a lot of times the first run is not what you can get through to, but I would say that what the Attorney General came out with today is truly their way forward. Give people a guaranteed right to have an exemption for religious or medical reasons and don't question it. And oh, by the way, take into account their natural antibodies and what their doctor may say, whether the NIH likes it or not. And you're going to find yourself pretty much meeting the need of the people of this state. So there's no reason why Governor Ivey shouldn't do it. And if she doesn't, she's missing a golden opportunity to speak to what is really resonating in the populace right now. Jeff, you go.
I don't think KIV's going to do anything. I think she is going to answer to the business community. There is no reason to think she's going to buck that trend. She always does. And you know, maybe it's wishful thinking, but if you want a solution to this problem, you're gonna have to look at something else, I'm afraid.
Dale, take it away, man. What do you think on your own question?
No, I think the business community gave her a marching orders, and she's following them. I think it's over.
Well, that would be a crying shame. I did like the fact that on your show, I think it was Dale the other day that. State Senator Arthur Orr actually called on her to issue an executive order and just get out there and do it now. But I've heard nothing from her office in response whatsoever.
Correct.
All right, Jeffro, you're up, man.
A special session this week, or next week, I should say, a reapportionment. Now, Phil, you and I talked a little bit about this on my program earlier this week, but I don't know. I'm hearing a little bit of buzz here that there's more and more controversies kind of bubbling up, that, you know, but they always do. I understand. Now, I wasn't as focused on this in 2010 when the Republicans first had their crack at this. But what do you think? A mundane special session formality? Or are we going to actually see some fireworks on this redistricting? Or is there going to be a real turf war underway in the Alabama State House next week?
Dale, you can take it first.
Inside baseball, it'll be a really big deal. Eyes will glaze over elsewhere.
short answer, but probably true. So I'll advance that one further. You know, there's a couple of conservatives that are finding their districts actually being gerrymandered against them, and that to me is troubling. I'm also hearing, by the way, that Democrats are looking for any opportunity to grab hold of a few Republicans to help them create the filibusters that could drag this thing out. And then what you have to really watch, this is a procedural technique, but I saw former State Senator Mark Cahey do this back in the day, is if they get mad enough and they go to the podium and they ask for the bill to be read at length, it takes upwards of a day and a half for a bill to be read at length, and they can just leave the room and let the machine start reading, and it's pretty nauseating. But that could delay things greatly. We'll see. But I hear there's trouble right now. I'm hearing there's some trouble. They'll pass something, but we'll see.
Well, I'm hearing there's a lot of trouble. Birmingham, obviously you and I talked about Montgomery, Charlotte Meadows. I hear there's some disagreement. Some of them, they're trying to preserve as many minority-majority districts as they can. Those districts are losing population, and it's starting to impact some Republican seats. Well, Republicans are the ones voting on this plan. You may lose some votes along the way, but these early states, about yesterday, started hearing there seems to be some dissension among the ranks. I would watch for that.
Yeah, and it doesn't help at all that the maps haven't even been made public, and the maps won't be made public until about a day before the session. So that's, you know, they're just basically trying to get this thing in under the wire and hope nobody questions it. But I think it's going to get ugly, at least for a while. All right, let me lay one on you here. This is on my Twitter feed if y'all haven't seen it yet, but Condoleezza Rice was on The View, of all places. And they did not know what to do with her, because there she was, a strong conservative black female who was telling them she grew up in the segregated South and did not believe in critical race theory, and she was basically repudiating the things that Joy Behar and the others were saying on the show. All that to say, I looked at that as being this great moment of leadership, but what do y'all think? Did her comments, if you've heard them, if you haven't heard them, go check them out. But if do you think her comments at that level will have a sway in the public forum on critical race theory? Jeff Rowe.
No. It's Condoleezza Rice, and I have never liked her. Going back to her Bush days, I know that she's fallen out of favor with some conservatives for whatever reason. But overall, I think that is just a blip on the radar screen. It's a narrative. It's not an honest narrative. We know that it's not an honest narrative. It's just a way to score political points, and it's a blip on the radar. It is intellectually honest, and you have to applaud Condoleezza Rice for speaking up, but I don't think it's going to matter much in the end.
Dale, what do you think?
Anytime you have a high-profile African-American person make this kind of argument, I think it helps people see it if they are reachable. The question is if they're reachable, and how many people haven't already made up their minds on this? That I think is the real question that most people will see here. How many people haven't made up their minds? I don't really think there's all that many. So it may have some slight difference in making ability, but I'm kind of with Jeff. I think she is sort of a marginalized figure, largely. So you took whatever you wanted out of it. And if you don't like Condoleezza Rice, you're like, oh, well, shut up, lady. You don't know what you're talking about. If you like, you're like, Slay Queen, you know, that kind of stuff.
All right. Well, my view is a little more pragmatically optimistic. So I look at this as something that in the halls of government and decision-making and school boards and that kind of thing, I could see people finding this as a grounds upon which they can place a position that they didn't know how to place, because the national figure, the international figure of Condoleezza Rice spoke into it. And if anybody should have some claim to wanting critical race theory talked about in a you know, promotional way, it would be her, and yet she came out against it. So I think there's room here for it to be used effectively, but it's going to be a matter of people having to grab hold of it and make use of it and make it a billboard slogan, so to speak. All right, fellas, listen, we are up against the mid-break, so let's take the mid-break, and we'll come back in a minute and go with the next round of questions with the Grand Council. Folks, we're here with Dale Jackson from WVNN right here at 770 AM, 92.5 FM, and then we also got Jeff Poore from 106.5 down on the coast, and we will be right back with the Grand Council. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, the News Talk powerhouse in North Alabama. This is the biggest show across the afternoons in the northern part of our state. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. In one of my favorite segments right now, the Grand Council with Dale Jackson, our morning show guy here at WVNN, along with our buddy Jeff Poor from 106.5 down on the coast. We're asking questions back and forth. Dale, I believe you're up.
Was Joe Manchin ever truly ready to switch parties, or are they just trying to start a little scuttlebutt there? Was there ever anything actually there to all of this?
I tell you what, I'll jump on that real quick. First of all, he threw down the BS card on that real quick, and I don't think he ever did. But I'll tell you this, I don't know that we want him, because all he's going to do is bring in a very, 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 very moderate Republican stance on anything.
Now, you take the seat, though, right?
He takes a seat, but nonetheless, do we want that? But go ahead.
Yes, you take 10 Joe Manchins over 10 cinemas with D's after their names.
I am not arguing that point. You are correct there. Jeff, what do you think?
This was all floated out there by the Democratic Party, some operative in D.C. trying to get him to move on the reconciliation, trying to get him to vote on that. You can smell these stories a mile away, especially you consider where the outlet was. What was it? Mother Jones? I mean, come on. David Corn, really? It's the first time I didn't know David Corn was still in the game until yesterday, but, I don't think there was ever anything there. I think this was
sorry,
just a story
man.
Floated
Good
out
Lord.
There.
Make me feel bad about myself for thinking about that.
Well, no, I mean, you don't know this, because you're not around these people. You don't know how they operate. I mean, it's not on you, but I'm just telling you that there never was anything to this.
Well, I think we shut that one down just firmly and completely. So, Jeff, you take your question. What you got?
Mo Brooks speaking at the Madison County Men's Club on Saturday. He keeps bringing up the 2017 U.S. Senate race and who supported Roy Moore. Roy Moore, and obviously it was not Richard Shelby. Should that be a campaign issue? Because I think relitigating that whole saga doesn't make anybody look good. But maybe he sees something I don't, or they know something that I don't.
Dale?
Well, Jeff has no way of knowing this because Jeff wasn't at that meeting. But he's actually right. If you looked around the room, I mean, there's nothing there. I mean, there truly is nothing there. And I think Mo Brooks should think about this. You got to remember, like 60% of the Republicans in this state wanted nothing to do with Roy Moore. I mean, you got to remember that. That was just the Republicans. And then when it came time to go, the Republicans stayed home. I just don't know. I just don't know if you want to relitigate that. I'm with Jeff on this.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, too, it's one of those things where political memories are too often short. I think that one is almost a forgotten issue. And to keep bringing it up, it's time to go after things that are contemporary and in the minds of people now. And I would say that's not the best campaign issue for a current campaign. Anyway, all right, I'll take my question here. So Mike Durant, the retired chief warrant officer, special operations aviator, shot down in the Battle of Mogadishu, became part of the story of Black Hawk Down. Anyway, he has jumped into the U.S. Senate race, and so here we are with a new one in the mix. Now, if you were giving him advice coming into the fray right now, what would you say is his main priority in this portion of the race just now jumping in? Jeff, you go first.
It's going to be national security. That's his lane. There's a lot of national security issues to make hay out of. I think more than just Afghanistan, I think China, I think trade. You could talk national security. You could talk about inflation and the economy and how bad economies make the country vulnerable to our adversaries, and you could really hammer that home and quality of life. That's his lane. That's where he'll make the most sense. You know, he has the credentials. That's what I would be looking for if I'm looking at him as a candidate.
Dale, what you think, man?
I don't disagree with any of that. You know, me and Jeff had a conversation about this on TV this week, and we talked about it. I think we're in disagreement on where he picks up people. I think, you know, there's more people to get from Mo Brooks and from undecideds than from Katie Britt and the others in the race. So you try to figure out how to peel those people off or get the people who are undecided. And maybe one of the ways you do that is with what Jeff's talking about, a foreign policy focus. Maybe there's some people in the undecideds out there looking for that. Maybe that's a good idea. But I still, Jeff and I are going to disagree on this. I think that he takes more votes away from Katie Britt percentage-wise than from Mo Brooks. And I think at the when this next poll comes out, it's Brooks, Durant, Britt, but it's still 55-13-6.
Yeah, and I tend to agree with Dale on that one. And I know, Jeff, you said on the show, I think once before, that he could tend to draw away from Mo. But I really think he plays up his business cred. He plays up who he is in the community, in the Huntsville market, and all that. He's more of a possibility of taking away from Katie because he brings Katie's business attachments while also adding the military piece to it. I think the other piece, two other pieces. One is he's got to hammer the name ID. He's got to get out there and make sure people hear Blackhawk Down Mike Durant, Blackhawk Down Mike Durant, because they understand Blackhawk Down. They need to affiliate him to that and draw an image in their mind of who he is. But then the lastly I would say, too, is also going off of what Jeff just said on national security, is go hammer the military vaccine mandate and what it's doing to readiness. And I think he resonates quickly and hard on that one, especially with the military community here in Alabama. All right, fellas, that's it, man. We're down to it. We got a hard break coming up. But thank you again, gentlemen, for being here on the Grand Council on Thursdays. As always, we appreciate you. Thanks much.
Yes, sir.
All right, listen, my favorite times are when we have those moments like that one and Copper's Corner and others, and that's just good stuff. We got so much talent around this station. It's unbelievable. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We're going to come right back, hit number 3 on the Triple Dipper. So the National Intel Estimate is out. What does it mean? Oh, no, there's a new thing they say we got to watch out for. It's the biggest issue in the world. What could it be for national security? I'll tell you about that when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.